Thank you. It's great to be here. Earl, would you get the video up? We just developed a video a couple of weeks ago, and so I'm going to share this video, see how it works out. Just a video that we will show all types of interest groups that kind of explains what we're doing in 8 minutes, and then we'll go from there.
When I lost my dad when I was a kid, life was very difficult.
My life was not an easy one. One of the things that I don't think I'll ever forget was when I lost my mom.
I couldn't go to school because everything was dependent on my mom. And she was struggling to find a job so she could support me, my sister, another younger brother. So it was very difficult.
I don't know if my mother died. I don't know if she's alive. I don't know if she's somewhere. I just know that she disappeared from the hospital. I ended up living on the streets.
My name's Don Larson. At Hershey Chocolate, I spent 13 years climbing the corporate ladder there. My last job was director of cocoa operations. That got me into Africa, and it kind of changed my life. I quit Hershey, and from there, I was given the opportunity to do whatever I thought I wanted to do at that point in time, and that was to do something to help people. The Sunshine Nut Company is based on the Sunshine Approach. It's a product line that brings fresh and nutritious products made in third world countries into the finest retail markets in order to get the income to bring back to help the poor and orphaned in sub-Saharan Africa. Sunshine Nut Company cashews is some of the best, tastiest, freshest cashews that you'll have. And once a cashew is shelled is when it starts to deteriorate. We're redefining the freshness and taste of a cashew because we're taking it right from the shell and we get it as fast as we can in the package. That retains a freshness that when people across the world open that package, they've never had anything close to what we're supplying. In other companies, that product could sit in Africa here for quite some time before it's moved over to either the shelling companies in India or Vietnam. From there, it sits in inventory for potentially up to a year before those products are then roasted and packaged. So what you have, even at its freshest point, is a stale cashew. What makes our product unique is we take the cashews that have been freshly shelled and we roast it in sunflower oil to have a premium roasted taste. From there, we season it with herbs, spices, or salt for something incredibly fresh, tasty, and crunchy. My inspiration was really to find a new way to help people and having lasting economic impact. Recently, companies have incorporated a triple bottom line, which is financial, environmental, and social. And social is giving. The quadruple bottom line is called the Sunshine Approach. It's a business model that incorporates a fourth transformational objective. We're not just going to give, we're going to transform people's lives. We're going to invest and make a lasting economic change in the communities. Sunshine Approach is giving 90% of your profits back to the poor and orphaned. Sunshine Approach Foundation is our 501c3 element that allows us to bring back the profit and deal directly with the communities to have high impact results.
Our organization's goal is to provide dignity, love, and community to the people we work with. The people here are very poor, and most of them have been abandoned and they've been forgotten. We want to create projects that will give them dignity, where we can employ them and they can be self-sufficient and independent. 30% of our profits will go to orphan and vulnerable children care. A part of the Sunshine Approach Foundation mission is to create sunshine houses. We take orphans and pair them with widows. So by joining them up and making a family unit, the widows will care for the children, and as the children will grow older, they will care for the widows as well.
The orphans are near and dear to my heart, mainly because they're near and dear to God's heart. You see time and time again, God just emphatically saying to look after widows and orphans in their distress. The orphans here, it's such a significant problem in Mozambique. 1.6 million orphans out of 20 million people. We've hired young men and women who've come from backgrounds of being either abandoned or orphaned in their youth. So we're providing opportunity for them, but we're also providing funds and programs, health care, things for the orphanages as well.
30% of our profits go to the farming communities. Part of our work with the communities is tree planting. Our goal is to plant 50,000 cashew trees in the area where we're buying our cashews. For many of these people, that's their only income for the entire year when they harvest their cashews.
You know, we just did baseline studies of 210 families, and their idea of hope, their idea of success is a job. We've identified communities that really need opportunity. And we're looking to put mini factories in the villages to provide value addition for these farmers. But then we also have the ability to put a room on that will provide the ability to do microfinancing, health care, education, all types of different programs that provides the ability for the Sunshine Approach Foundation to come in and do all the philanthropic work.
There are so many people that come to me and they have great needs. You know, people who don't have food, people who have literally nothing. You know, we spoke with a 29-year-old woman who had 3 children and her husband died this past year. They have no food. They have no income. She just has no possibility. She has no hope. To be able to sit alongside these people and just talk with them and be with them and show them that you care is really an incredible blessing.
There's a multiplicative effect with the Sunshine Net Company here in Mozambique. The 50 employees that we have at the factory mean that 1,000 employees are being employed up north to shell the cashews. But more importantly, it means that 50,000 farming families grow and harvest and sell their cashews to those factories to be shelled. So it's 50 employees create jobs for 1,000, create the opportunity for 50,000 farmers to sell to us. The 30% for the new companies is just so that we are obligated to grow this whole concept through other food products. There's so many different possibilities throughout Africa, and so what this does is forces us to look for people in need that we can go and put in the same concept of the 90% give back and the value addition and the world-class products in among the communities.
The company had a big impact on my life. It means so many things. Hope, a future.
Sunshine changed a lot of things, in not just my life, but also in my family's life.
I have a beautiful family. They are the most important people. My wife and daughter, they are the principal people that make me. They are the people that give me strength, that I can get up at 3:30 in the morning and come to work. I love my family.
Sunshine is a different company, because what we do here is not just for us. Everything we do it from our hearts to help the community.
When you buy a bag of Sunshine Net Company cashews, 90% of its profits go back to the poor and orphaned in sub-Saharan Africa. You're going to love the flavor. You're going to love the freshness. And you're going to love the things that we do with the proceeds from the purchase of your package. You are part of doing something amazing. You are providing hope and getting a great tasting product as well.
I think I'll move to this side. And if you could get the PowerPoint up, Earl. Most people want to know why I did this, so I'm going to spend a couple minutes before I get into the model. When I was at Hershey, I was a turnaround guy for them, an executive. They had me in a different job every year. Last job was in buying all the cocoa for Hershey, which is about 10% of the world market. Gives you an idea of the size of Hershey. And they wanted me to bring innovation. Well, I went to Africa, I went to Ghana, Ivory Coast, and when I left there, I never wanted to come back to Africa because of the sickness, because of the kidnapping threat, all types of different things happened there. I got home, I parked the suitcase outside, went in, stayed in bed for a couple days. I said, burn the suitcase. And I was serious about that. I quit Hershey. I built a very large cocoa processing line in order to sell to Hershey. We started up a bunch of foreign investors And we started up at $100 million in sales. I owned 5%. And the ownership, the investors wanted me to do illegal things. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to allow you to do that. They ended up selling the company without me knowing about it, and I was out of a job. But I told my wife, I am never going back into the food industry. That same week, I had some job offers. And I had Campbell Soup meet with me and say, we're creating a senior VP position. It's going to take a few months. Can you take a few months off? And in that time, I had become a Christian 15 years earlier. And during those 15 years, we taught parenting courses. I went to Promise Keepers events. You know, we did everything right, morning prayer, breakfast, and all. And I sat in church feeling so dissatisfied and so empty. I said, this isn't it. This is not it. And God just kept nagging me. And while I was being taxed at that food company, I got a very deep relationship with the Lord. Well, what happened over those few months is I decided to finally give in and surrender completely to the Lord. And it was something, I was at the height of my career. My last job was $300,000 a year, had everything I wanted, my hot air balloon. I flew for 25 years, over 1,000 flights, my Porsche. The toys went all the way down the driveway, the street bikes, the dirt bikes, the RV, the house with the pool. And so unfulfilled and unsatisfied by it all. And I surrendered to the Lord. I went to the shore in a hotel room in the middle of winter, closed the drapes, prayed to the Lord all night, and I completely surrendered. I said, Lord, I have had the greatest first half of my life. I have the greatest family, friends. I've had so much fun at work. I have everything I need. From here on, it's all yours. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, but he immediately tested it. You know, Campbell Soup invited me in, and I turned him down. They invited me in. The senior exec sat with me. And they said, how much money is it going to take Don Larson to join us? I said, it's not about the money. I want to help people. And I remember walking down the marble hallway thinking, I am absolutely crazy. This is so insane. This is a perfect job. It was so easy, and it would propel me. And over the next year and a half, my family thought I was crazy, because I went into a deep relationship with the Lord. Didn't work, you know. Went into the woods, developed intimacy. And what you find as a result is a complete abandonment. And the abandonment and the obedience comes from a love affair. And the love affair is with God. And that's what I developed in the woods. I was not intending to do this. And I developed a couple different things that I was doing. I went into seminary at nights. I was doing a life coaching program for professional athletes, NFL football teams. You know, just a bunch. I had like four or five different things. But I was intending to do a business on unique design and getting kids to understand what they should do for the rest of their life that's based on how they were designed and meeting their creator. Anyway, I was stopped at a conference by a woman. Well, we were worshiping, and she basically prophetically said, stop what you're doing. God says to stop. And by the way, I have like 100 words of people coming up to me. When people come up to me and say, I have a word from the Lord, I get out my phone, and I record it. And it's all to do with what I'm doing. At that time, I didn't know what I was going to be doing, but they started to come together. She said, in 3 weeks, you'll get partial direction. Three months, you'll get full direction. The exact day, 3 weeks later, I was in prayer. Wasn't planning on doing anything other than these jobs. And I got very clearly the Lord, not audibly, but you know when the Lord talks to you. I got build food factories in third world nations to bring lasting economic transformation and name it sunshine. That was the farthest thing that was on my mind. Yeah, and in obedience and through connections and getting up early in the morning and praying, I was in Tanzania speaking with the leadership and government about the Sunshine Approach exactly 3 months later to the day. And I got there and I came home to Terry. I'm like, Terry, I'm going back in the food industry and we're going to Africa. And so we are here out of a love affair. And I got to tell you, if you're not doing it out of a love affair, don't do it. Because it's tough. Okay? It's Mozambique, Africa. Every step of this business is from God. The business model, everything was all developed in prayer and then reinforced from people who come up to me. You know, I developed the 90%, the 30-30-30-10. I was at a conference and someone wanted to set up a woman who was very prayer warrior. She comes up, she prays for me, and she's sitting there. She goes, "Have you just?" She knows nothing about me. She said, "Do you know how you're going to give the money away?" I'm like, "What?" I had been working on that 30, and I was so emotionally drained on, "Is this what you want, Lord?" And I said, "No, I haven't." She says, "Well, usually I do the percentages, you know?" And I said, "Well, I'm waiting for God to tell me." And she said, "Well, God's waiting for you to write it down so he can hold you to it." You know, those types of things. When I developed the quadruple bottom line business model, I'm out in the streets of Maputo, and a woman prays for me. And she says, she gives me this wonderful thing about not pigeoning, you're going to have a whole bunch of businesses and everything. She says, "But I keep getting this quadruple thing, quadruple." And I had just developed the quadruple bottom line model. And so it's this fun reinforcement. God is so hilarious, and he's so fun, and he's there, even through your hardship. And I think the message this morning from Rob about taking dominion, taking title, having joy, not worrying about it, was so important. The business model, the hub of it, is an economic engine, a transformative engine. I mean, Tom, it's so wonderful to see Tom's, because this I birthed in the woods. And it is going along with so many different models. And, you know, God talks to everyone. And he's got really cool ideas. We hire mostly young men and women who have been either abandoned or orphaned in their youth. We're promoting from within. Benaria, who you saw in the video, he is now a production manager. I have an all African staff, all Mozambican except for one South African woman I had to hire to be quality manager. But they're doing wonderfully. The 30% going to the communities is a very important part. What we're doing, though, is transformative in nature. So we don't want to just come and give out. We want to make sure we transform the community as we're doing it. And a case in point, the trees are obviously something that is very transformative. The government, when we came up to plant 2,000 trees, the government joined us on a Saturday. And that was something, and they gave us the trees. We were ready to pay for them. Education as well. If you have a school uniform, you get to go to school. If you don't, you don't go to school. There's a lot of small things that mean a lot. My wife's an educator for 25 years. She's planning some programs to train the teachers to be better teachers. But the main thing is using the widows from the Sunshine Houses to make the uniforms. They're currently making our company uniforms. So it is a very complex, comprehensive solution that I just love. But it intertwines so many solutions into something sustainable and transformative. The healthcare initiatives. You know, people are reading about articles I write for Forbes and Christian Science Monitor and different things. And we had Penn State approach us recently. But we also had a doctor team. And what I like about this doctor team, and they're coming this month to start laying the groundwork. On Monday, we were all over the communities getting support from the Ministry of Health, the regional, the national, and the local. And the doctor team comes, and they come alongside of the doctors. And they kept trying to pigeonhole us on Monday to say, "We want a program." I said, "I don't want any programs. I make cashews. They have jobs in hospitals. I want something where we can come in effortlessly and be part of what you're doing as a government. We just want to help you fulfill your objectives." And what that will do is develop relationships. And what these doctors do is they come in and they train community health workers. They do all types of different things in the community that's transformative. It's not just coming, putting a Band-Aid on for a week, and then they leave and the people have the problems continuing. 30% to the orphanages. we started out thinking, okay, we're just going to support existing orphanages. And so we've got a whole bunch of those. And Terry is there most days. She's Mama Terry. We roll up and hundreds of kids come running to the vehicle. And it's wonderful. But an established orphanage has a lot of issues. One is there's not a loving environment, and there are some neat things happening at those. But we decided to develop our own sunshine house because three children, this is how God works, I think. Three children came to our attention. The mother had just committed suicide after the father died in an accident. The kids were kicked out of the house. They were out on the streets. And we were called by one of our employees. And we quickly raised funds and bought a house. Our employees volunteered, went over, renovated. We put electric, we put water, we put a bathroom, we put a fence, we painted it, all types of things that happened. But the neat thing about that is when we met with the government, they want us to do all these things for an orphanage. And like, we're not in the business of orphanage. We're just going to pay this lady, and we're going to pay their, as a company, we're going to pay their monthly expenses. And they're like, that is the most wonderful thing. They said, can we bring more children to you? Of which I think that's going to be coming. And God willing, we'll be able to put a lot of different houses in because these kids will then grow up in a Mozambican community and be loved in a family environment. God's heart, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in this distress. As I was in the woods, you know, orphans, I mean, all these things were just things that God told me, you know. And as I play out this business model, you know, I was invited to be part of the World Economic Forum, Grow Africa, it's called. It's the G8 picked 8 countries to stomp out world poverty, starting with agriculture in Africa. And they called me because all the multinationals were in it. And they had heard about what I was doing in Switzerland. And they called me and said, why haven't you submitted an application to become a member company? I'm like, who are you? I don't have time to even talk to you. But they have paid my way, and they want me there because they say, Don, your company is doing everything that we want to do and then so much. We're just trying to get the multinationals to do a couple things. And you are so transformative and so beyond, out of the box. When I go and present there, they all look at me like I'm crazy, you know? And I remember the first year I came home. I was in Cape Town, Nigeria, and then back to Cape Town. First year I said, you know, Terry, I'm a freak show. Everyone laughs at me. You know, and I used to be an executive. I can deal with it. You know, it was all the CEOs, the bank heads and everything. And I'd start talking with someone, and they'd be looking over their heads like, who can I talk to next and get away from the day? Good luck with that, yeah. You know, and the next year I presented again. Then this following year, all those same people were coming back up to me because we have just gone into, in a year of going into America, we're in 2,000 of the best retailer stores in the country and just growing quickly, okay? Just the Lord is favoring everything. And this was a great, great thing for me to come to. I came to speak, but really I came to be spoken to by Rob, who said, sit back. You know, this is the Lord's. You know, he was very, very good at, I've been told before that when you strive, when you're doing it under your own, then the Lord will pull back. And I've had prophets call me and say, when I've gotten into trouble, their advice, go rest, go worship, don't decide on anything for a week, which is so contrary to everything. When you're in trouble, you want to solve it. Yeah. I went away. We went to up near Nelsprite, and went in worship. Everything was resolved. We got money, all kinds of things. And the prophet was saying, God wants you to know that this is his. Don't ever think that this is yours. And so he wants you to go away, and he'll solve the problems. You're not to do anything. How do you like that? You know, it's tough to not strive, I got to tell you. So we're in, oh, I'm going backwards, sorry about that. Education. Penn State, my university and my wife's university in America, read an article, and they're finishing up some work in Uganda. All universities are doing projects and everything all around the world now. Global entrepreneurship is very, very big all across the U.S. So Penn State contacted us. They said, we'd like to be part of what you're doing. Very rarely do we have people on the ground that can facilitate projects. I said, well, that's great. You can come. You can help. And we have all kinds of things for all your departments to do. We could fill up every discipline of your education system, which is 120,000-130,000 students at this one university. But I said, I don't want you to do that alone. I want you to pair up with Mozambican's leading university, and I want you to work collaboratively with them, because you'll learn stuff off them, they'll learn stuff off you, and all of it will benefit the Mozambican communities. So we've got that going on as well. Oh, sorry. I'll get this right. The vertical integration strategy. You know, we started, the first thing to do was to develop a global brand. I've got people wanting to take me into Europe, all parts of Europe. Even the guys at the World Economic Forum want to bring me into Switzerland and Europe. They want to broker my product there. And it's interesting, they called me and they said, Don, you know, we got all these submissions for Entrepreneur of the Year, and we're looking at all of them saying, my goodness, Don beats all of these. Can you, you know, it's after the deadline, but can you submit a project submission? And I did, you know, and I didn't make the qualifying, because you have to be in business for 3 to 5 years. But I thought it was awesome that they're looking at me as a global entrepreneur of the year. Anyway, and by the way, it's not me. Let me be very, I'm just being obedient, you know. As far as the vertical integration, the first thing was to develop a model, a global brand. But then we want to go down into the communities where we can really have the impact. You do that with the strength of a global brand first, and then you can go down. And by having that last, what I'm trying to do is create leverage even with the retailers, with the story, with the freshness and everything. Usually get beat up at the retail level, but now they don't know how to take me because of the nature of what we're doing and the premium flavor and image and all. But going the other way, the cashew shelling factories in Mozambique and pretty much all around the world are very large factories, 2,000 employees or more. And it creates transient living problems because people move from their villages and they hang out in shanty towns all around. They don't see their family for 50 weeks out of the year. And so there's a lot of issues. What I would like to do is break the process of shelling cashews into two separate components and put the first stage into the villages to do value addition. But more importantly, with each of these mini factories, I can put on a room that we can then do all the transformative initiatives. When you have a room, then you can set up. Already I have a bank wanting to do microfinance, let's say on Mondays. Healthcare, maybe on Tuesdays. Do you see how you can do education training, maybe on a Saturday, that we bring trainers in from around the world to pull the resources that they train the teachers. Those teachers who do well, hey, we'd like to build you a school. We'd like to equip you. Because when you pick the best, you want to sit there and give everyone who doesn't care about things. But if people show an interest and they keep coming for training, those are the ones I'll invest in. And that will bring everyone else in. Okay? So we've got a lot of ideas, a lot of intertwined solutions and complexity, but it makes it fun. And establishing the brand, I said, was one of the most important things. What we're doing, though, is I'm an industrial engineer by background, so everything I want to do is through efficiency and effectiveness. And my statement to everyone is, hey, we don't want to compete in the world. We want to win. So we want to turn everything around and say, hey, you want to catch up with us? You want to compete? You got to come here. Okay? We're cutting out all the middlemen. We're doing things in country. We can get the freshness. So there's so many positives. We just have to overcome the negatives. But what we're doing is putting containers into the Maputo port. I'm checking out the Durban port as well recently. The next one might go out of the Durban port. But to put the container on, it goes right into Baltimore, 15 minutes away from that port. It's gone from bulk into pallets. Then it goes into the most efficient distribution center, arguably in the world, all robotically packed and everything. And it was a blessing from God that we were even considered. These are the big guys. But what it means is my transportation cost from the dock into the store is the same as any gigantic company. Because you pay for the square footage inside the truck. And so I'm on a level playing field. And so those are the things where I'm trying to build a model that I can be profitable so that I can do things. And the nice thing about this model, I'm giving it all away anyway. Okay? So if I know I'm going to have a profit, I can do things in the front section while I'm doing business. Okay? I don't have to answer to any shareholders in maximizing profit. The best times to do things might be in the matter of doing business and doing the right thing. Yeah, I have foreign traders that want to bid me up. I'm like, hey, that's a dishonest practice. I dealt with that a lot on the cocoa desk. You want to bid me up? I'm giving it to the farmers anyway. How high do you want to go? In fact, let's not just do it in this region. Let's do it and broadcast it all over Mozambique that we're paying double the amount of market price. You see? So we're in retail, Pick and Pay. You can get them at Pick and Pay. Suzanne Ackerman was my earliest supporter. She really believes in what we're doing. I've been beat up pretty much in South Africa with the retail system and everything. But she has agreed to then now buy the product directly from us, bring us into their distribution, have their sales and merchandising arm do it. So it's pretty much effortless from now on to do that. And luckily, that's a good thing for South Africa. But, you know, I was just at a food show at our booth, and Woolworths came up to me, and they said they had heard about what we're doing. So while my market is primarily USA now, things are happening in South Africa as well. So that's good. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, I thought this was all about giving up everything, you know? Gave up all this, and oh, woe is me. And, you know, I never actually felt that way. But that's the type of impression, you know, that you have to give it all up. I didn't realize the satisfaction and the abundance of life from doing something like this. You know, and one of the things that my wife and I are involved in right now is we're involved in being in an oven. It's a refiner's oven. And I will tell you that if you are not in a refiner's oven, you better get to one. Because God is continually wanting to refine you to be more and more like Christ. Okay? And where I was when I surrendered to where I am now, it's remarkable, isn't it, Terry? I mean, to go from over $1 million nest egg to nothing. And not worry, I mean, Daniel, not worrying about money, you know? It comes. It's there. And the more I worry about it, the more He holds it back. God is not an 1159 God. God is a 1205 God. Okay? I'm on the ground yelling, oh, just kill me now, I'm done. And God will say, get up. You know? He said, I've taken care of you. Don't you have any faith? You know? I titled a TED Talk I recently did, Find an Idea You're Willing to Die For, and then Start to Really Live. And I talk about being armed invasion into our house, being held, pushed around by an AK-47 and everything. Makes for a great story. You know, at the time, I was driving home after the robbery, and I was like, God, what's that all about? And I heard God very clearly answer, you never once flinched. You never once said, I'm going home. I'm thinking of quitting. In fact, you were galvanized. You were more persistent. He said, I'm so proud of you. And it's almost like He was holding me up to the enemy saying, you're in trouble. Okay? Because we're not giving up. You know, we aren't giving up. I could never go back to where I was and what I was doing. You know, this is just a neat way of living. So I encourage you, all of you, to continue in what you're doing. But, you know, it all starts with a love affair. It really starts with a love affair. And if it's not coming out of a love affair, what's the point? My family, you know, my son. I think this might be the picture. So my kids, you know, they went to a private school. They had everything they needed. My daughter, who recently graduated from Gordon College outside of Boston, now she's got a job teaching right next to 5 minutes from our son, who's now at Gordon College. She keeps picking him up to take him to the grocery store and everything. And he keeps getting in the car wearing the same shirt. She's like, Brent, don't you have any other shirts? And Brent's like, well, actually, I don't. He said, I got this one at Goodwill, which is a place where people go, buy secondhand clothing and everything. He says, I think I rock in it, you know? You know, and I was told this, and I was sad, and I was so happy at the same time. I had set up an allowance for my son. He responded back. He said, Dad, I don't need that much money. You can cut it down by 2/3. Wow. You know, and it's just, I never thought about the transformation of my family until we started to do this. And so we're all involved, we're all committed. You know, we left our 2 children in the U.S. So that, about leaving father, mother, kids, land, you know, comes to bearing. It's been very difficult for my wife to leave our 2 children back in the States. But the abundant life, I thought, was material wealth, possessions and all. But there's a different meaning of abundance. And it's the abundance of satisfaction, the abundance of love, the abundance of intimacy with the Lord. I could keep going on and on and on. But our lives are so evident in Scripture. And I never thought about that. You know, as we embarked on this, I read through Scripture now, it's like, whoa. You know, John Wimber, I think, once said, you know, the Bible is the menu. Your life is the meal. Your life should be representative of what's in the Bible, okay? So I think that was a powerful statement because I started to see that as we got into this, you know, and it's the Pauls, the trials and everything, but there's a joy, there's a satisfaction and everything. So thank you for letting me talk here. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. So there's all kinds of things. I talked about Forbes, I talked about One.org, they've done a lot of stories. So this is getting more and more visible. I got an email from, do anyone know who Seth Godin is? Have you ever heard of Seth Godin? He's a very prominent marketing business guy. He's written a lot of books and everything. You know, he's been going back and forth with me. I don't know what God's up to, but I know he's up to some great things. And I can't wait to see what he does, if only I step back and let him do it. And so it's nice to be here because I would be working continuously trying to strive to make this work. And I really need to step back. So thank you very much.
Wow. Anointed, absolutely. Speaks to your soul. Whew. Thank you, Don. Thank you. We're running like 15 minutes late, but I think what we'll do, there are teas and coffees, or grab a bottle if you want to get to the breakout session, which will start in 15 minutes. So we'll have Don at the windows, and we'll have Tom on this corner. So it'll be half an hour each session, so you'll swap over. So nobody has to choose. Tomorrow there's going to be a few more choices to make. But tomorrow starts at 8:30. Great. And then tonight, there has been a bit of confusion over the networking. What we intend, well, what we would like to suggest is that you grab a place to go and have a bite together in and around Belito, Salt Rock. Use the evening to network while everybody is here. So if that works for you, get with your friends and have a good evening. God bless. See you tomorrow.